Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Professor Christopher Gennari, and this is History 101. And in this episode, we begin our discussion on early settled civilizations. So, we had been talking about nomadic peoples, which is the vast majority of human existence. So, why would people want to settle down? Why would they want to stop moving from place to place to place? And the answer is food. Food security. The problem with being a nomad is you never know where your next day's food is coming from. And so what settling down, what agriculture allows, is for food security. It allows you to know how much food you can produce, how much food you're going to have, how much food you will have in the future. So why doesn't everybody just settle? The vast majority of people remain nomadic for a long time. Well, the answer is it's hard. The first thing that had to happen is the domestication of plants, especially wheat in the Middle East. That's around, give or take, around 10,000 BC. The domestication of plants allows you to control the reproduction, allows humans to control the reproduction of another object, in this case, plants. The domestication of animals is the controlling of the reproduction of animals in order to get something out of it. What this provides is food security. Food security equals survival. It also equals savings, which allows for future wealth. It allows you to save. It allows you to build. It allows you to pass on to another generation. Nomads have nothing. They can only carry what they have in their back. They have no savings. Suddenly, with agriculture, you have the accumulation of future wealth. So, agriculture is the most important thing that ever happened to humans. You do not have civilization without it, or cited civilization without it. But there are several problems. The first is you need a lot of food. You have to produce a lot of food from what are rudimentary tools. And so you need protection from nature. Second, you are vulnerable against nomads. Why? Why would you be vulnerable against nomads? Well, remember that nomads on their horses with their lances or their bows or at war all the time, they are professional warriors. Well, farmers don't got time for that. Farmers farm, they don't fight. Just like fishes are friends, not food, farmers farm, they don't fight, which means they lose their military skills. In fact, settled people actually lose their horse breeding skills. And you go, well, why would that be? Well, horses require a lot of food. And the horses that people are using are too small for draft animals. So early settled people lose their horses. While the nomads in Central Asia continue to ride horses and have no problems whatsoever. And so people who start settling into these early towns, we won't yet call them cities, but towns or villages to grow food are very vulnerable against nomads because, let's face it, they have food. And what do nomads need? Nomads need food. And so if nomads ever have a problem with, like, starving, they know where to get food. And you know this if you've seen The Seven Samurai, The Magnificent Seven, or A Bug's Life. And I know If you are 20 years old, you saw A Bug's Life. There is no way you were a kid in 1999 or 2003 and your parents did not put A Bug's Life on the DVD player at some point. And so, just like the locusts know where the ants are and the ants have the food, nomads know where the farmers are. So that brings us to three, the third problem, the rich versus the poor, the 2% versus the 98%. With the accumulation of wealth and the passing it on through generations, you get the rich. Nomads don't have the rich. Nomads are a communal communist society where everyone provides to the group as a whole. Settled people aren't like that. And there are a variety of different reasons. Yeah, sure, there's lazy people. But there's also things that happen to people, like floods, droughts, that affects some people and not others. There's a lot of luck in who gets wiped out and who doesn't. But over years, generations, centuries, you get the accumulation of the rich versus the poor. And the rich are 2%, essentially. Throughout this class, we will talk about the rich and the poor. And we will essentially mean the top 2% and the bottom 98%. There is no middle. There's no, I'm middle class, I have a little bit, but not too much. No. There's the rich, and there's everybody else. And so, that's a problem, because the rich want stuff to protect the rich. And the poor want stuff to protect the poor. Well, the rich have money, and they're going to be able to accumulate some form of power or protection. Like, they could hire dudes to protect them. But the poor are the 98%. The rich know they're outnumbered, and this is an age well before machine guns. If the poor want to kill you, the poor will kill you. They will burn down your house and kill you, and it's not that hard. This is the French Revolution is not something, some kind of fever dream. It is the ever-present problem in early societies, and the rich know it. So the rich need protection from the poor, and the poor need protection from the rich. So who are you going to call to fix these problems? Who? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No. You're going to call government. Why are you going to call government? Because government is the only institution that humans have invented that has the ability, that has, I shouldn't say that, the legitimacy, is the only institution with the legitimacy to organize mass numbers of people. Okay, let's go through that again. Government is the only institution with the legitimacy to organize mass numbers of people. So what does that mean? It is the only thing humans have created. Institution. With the rules and systems, beliefs, actions. It's the only institution that humans have come up with the legitimacy. So what is legitimacy? Legitimacy is the ability to get other people to accept your right to tell them what to do. Legitimacy is the ability to get other people to accept your right to tell them what to do. So government is the only institution with legitimacy to organize massive numbers of people to do something. Think of World War II. World War II, the United States government said 25 million people are going to be in the army. And people said, okay. And then it said, hey, we got to feed 25 million people. So we're going to buy food from you at this price. And farmers said, okay. And then the government said, okay, we need resources, aluminum, rubber, in order to build our war machines. And you're going to give it to us. And people said, okay. There's no other institution that humans have come up with that can organize mass numbers of people to get anything done. We have a couple of other institutions. One of them is the family, but the family is too small. I mean, think about the largest get-together your family could ever have, the wedding where everyone shows up. How many people are there? How many people can great-grandpapa, sitting at the head of the family table, tell to go get him a beer? And we'll do it. How many? 100? 500? It's not that many. You can't build a Taj Mahal with 500 people. Well, what about religion? Religion is big. There's 1 billion Muslims. There's 1 billion Catholics. Yeah, that's true. But there's a couple problems with religion. The first is it doesn't do the day-to-day very well. Tell me in your Bible where it talks about alternative side of the street parking. The streets have to be clean. Tell me. How about dog poop in the park, picking up after your dog? Something simple. This is picking up after your dog. Religion doesn't do it. Religion doesn't do the small day-to-day, everyday things that people need done. It has big moral questions, yes. Big ethical questions, yes. But it doesn't deal with the day-to-day. The second problem with religion is it's too fragile. Yeah, there's 1 billion Catholics. How many of them follow everything the Pope says? Very few. American Catholics, almost by definition, don't. And so they like being Catholic. They're like, hey, we're Catholic. And then there's a whole Protestant people, millions of people, 100 millions of people, who don't think the Catholics are right at all. And then there's, don't forget, the Orthodox. Orthodox Christianity that looks at both of them and says, you people are so stupid because you guys are even more wrong. You have Easter on the wrong day. And we say, no. You have Easter on the wrong day. Well, who's right? That's why religion doesn't work either, even though it gets massive numbers of people. Government is the only institution. And this is important because this is the theme of this course. This is the rest of this course. Everything that happens in this course is because of government. We are pro-government in this class. And I'm sorry, for those of you who are like, F government, government sucks, government is tyranny. Well, great. What do you replace it with? What gets my garbage picked up on Tuesday mornings? Who's going to fill in the potholes or clean out the gutters so that the rainwater goes to the stream? Who? Who's going to build the road and maintain it so I can get to work? Who? Who do you replace government with? We haven't invented that. Humans don't have an alternative. You don't have to like the powers of government. But government is the only thing humans have invented with the legitimacy to organize mass numbers of people to get stuff done to protect people. especially from other people. That's it. Like, go ahead. You could tell me, what, a group of people? Dude, you and your friends cannot agree on where to go on a Friday night for appetizers. Unless it's after 10. And then someone's like, dude, Applebee's is all unlisted appetizers for $10. Otherwise, you're all like, I want to go this place. No, I want to go this place. I want to go this place. I want to go this place. You can't agree on anything. And that's like where to get mozzarella sticks and a beer. That's hardly how to deal with the Mongols or how to fight the Nazis. Government is the only institution we've created that can do that. Now, you should ask, what is your government doing? That is a perfectly legitimate question. What am I getting out of my government? Perfectly legitimate question. Does this government represent my needs? Perfectly logical question. But there is nothing else that can replace the institution of government. So how do we make a government? Well, in these early days, how we make a government is rich guys. Remember that 2%? It's rich guys and their homeboys. Why? Because there's only a few people in any society that are so rich that they can tell everyone to go F themselves. And that may sound harsh, but think about it. There are problems. They need to be fixed. And so some guy says, hey, I have a great idea. We should all do what I want. And somebody else in that group, and if you have ever been to a PTA conference, if you have ever been to any group of people who have ever discussed anything, if you have been ever on any committee, if you're on the yearbook committee, you have seen this happen. Someone says, I have the best idea. We should do what I say. And immediately you get people who say, no, we should do what I say. Well, there's only a few people in any society that have enough money, charisma, respect, position, that can do that to everybody on everything, who don't need anybody else for anything. So you get rich guys and their homeboys. And so what you get is gang wars. You get Bobby Flay throwing down. Why? Well, because at some point the problems need to be solved. And so these guys say, no, listen to me. And the guy says, F you, you listen to me. And they say, no, and they throw down and they have a gang war. Rich guys, their homeboys, the Jets versus the Sharks, the Bloods versus the Crips, East Coast versus West Coast. That's what we're talking about. For one, the Fellowship of the Ring versus Sauron. So that there is one person to rule them all. And if you're lucky, you get one person to win, and that is a king. Get the king. One guy everyone agrees on who can make the rules. Now you want a winner. Why? Well, if you don't get a king, if no one wins, if this fighting keeps going on, sooner or later, nomads come along and kill everybody. The nomads come along and go, we have no food. You have food. We're going to take your food. And these guys say, oh, well, we have no government to stop you. So, oops. And the nomads say, great. We have arrows and lances. Now we're going to shoot you. You're dead. We're going to take your wives, cart them off because we need more women, because women die at tremendous rates in childbirth. So we always need more women. And your kids, they can do the shitty jobs. They can be our slaves. So thank you for not having an organized government to resist us. We'll just take all the stuff. Awesome. And you know what happens? We don't talk about them. Those societies that said, hey, I don't need a government. I can do things on my own. Well, they're not in the history books because they never wrote anything down. They got wiped out. We don't talk about losers in this class because they lost. And there's plenty of them who get obliterated along the way. And so you need a king. One guy, everyone agrees, can make the rules. Without a king, the problems don't get solved, and nomads come, and they are atomic bomb, and they wipe out everything. And you're gone, and you could be all like, well, I'm libertarian. At least I'm dead. If I'm dead, at least I didn't give up my principles. That's great. You're dead. So what is the advantage of having a king? Well, you get one guy who can fix the problems. Everyone agrees. So stuff gets done. The wonderful thing about kingship and why kingship is the natural government in early societies is stuff gets done. These societies live right on the edge of obliteration. They don't have time for debate. They don't have time to argue. They don't have time to figure it out. And, well, if we get it wrong, we'll just go back and fix it later. They don't have time for that. And so what they do is have one guy who makes the rules. And everyone follows them. That's great. It's efficient. It's why people like dictatorships. Because they look at their government and they say, oh, this is a mess. All this debating, all this democracy. No one can agree. If only we had one person who can fix it all. And you get those people who pop up and say, I am the one person who can fix it. You have heard this rhetoric. The disadvantage is, what happens if that guy is terrible? What happens if that person is bad at the job? That's the problem. Yes, stuff gets done. What if it's bad stuff? What if he makes the wrong decisions? What if he makes the wrong choices? That still leads to disaster. And so what we have is a government. And that government is going to try to solve problems. Now, we're going to talk about how it's going to try to solve those problems. Now, remember what those problems were. Those problems are we need protection from nature, protection from nomads, and protection from each other, from other people within our society. So in our next episode, we're going to talk about how we get protection from nature. Thank you.